From the college campuses of Washington and Lee University in Lexington, Virginia, and Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York, the National Broadcasting Company presents the College Quiz Bowl. Tonight, transcribed, Washington and Lee University, five-time winners in the College Quiz Bowl, will defend their title against the varsity scholars of Syracuse University. And here in Radio City, New York, is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludden.
Hi there, everybody. It's good to have you with us for another undergraduate battle of wits. Now let's first take a look at the current champions down in Lexington, Virginia. On hand again to serve as referee for the Washington and Lee University team is Joe Moffitt of station WSLS in Roanoke. Are you there, Joe?
Indeed I am, Alan, and with me are the four Washington and Lee students who seem to know everything except the law of averages. Here they are to say hello.
Bob Paxton, Lexington, Virginia.
Henry Turner, Bethesda, Maryland. Red Lockman, Lexington, Virginia.
Harold Quinn, Shreveport, Louisiana.
Team, the champions. Now let's move north and get acquainted with the challengers, who tonight are broadcasting from the dance studio of Syracuse University's new $3 million woman's building. On deck to act as referee for the Syracuse University team is Bob Whitney of station WSYR, Syracuse. Is your squad ready, Bob?
Yes, they certainly are, Alan, and I think that these four scholars may be just the ones to upset the Washington and Lee apple cart. I'll let them introduce themselves.
Ray Gunter, Buffalo, New York.
Janet Carroll, Utica, New York.
Jan Beach from Syracuse, New York.
Jane Bauer, Briarwood, New York.
Okay. Now we've met both teams. But before Jack Costello explains our Quiz Bowl rules, may I point out that we recognize full well here in the College Quiz Bowl that we are putting the emphasis on a quick recall of specific facts. We're pointing up thereby only one of the objectives of college education. And we are likewise, though, trying to give you an opportunity to meet a few of the many remarkable, well-rounded personalities to be found today on every American campus. Now, Jack, how about those rules?
Right, Alan, here they are. Alan Ludden asks a toss-up question worth 10 points, and the first team to signal it knows the answer gets a chance to answer it. When Syracuse University signals, you'll hear... And when Washington and Lee University signals, you'll hear... By means of a special electronic selector, the team which signals first, even by a split second, activates its light here in New York City and makes it impossible for the other team's light to flash. Now, if the team gives a wrong answer to the toss-up question, the other team is given a chance to answer it. And whichever team gives the right answer gets a bonus question worth a stated number of points. The team with the most points at the end of the game is the winner and returns next week to defend its title in the College Quiz Bowl.
Thank you, Jack. Now, remember, teams, you may interrupt a toss-up question before I've finished asking it. But if you do, and if your answer is wrong, your team will be penalized 5 points, and I will repeat the question, giving the other team a free crack at it. Okay, those are the rules. And there's the opening whistle, so let's go. Here is your first toss-up, and coming up is a 25-point bonus. Your first toss-up for 10 points. Where in literature does the following phrase appear? Quote, of shoes and ships and sealing wax, Washington and Lee.
Red Luck.
Lewis Carroll, Through the Looking Glass.
Can you take it, Syracuse? Wait, is that all right?
Jane Bauer.
It's Alice in Wonderland by Lewis Carroll.
Oh, wait, I've got to finish the question. What did you say there, Jane?
I said it was Alice in Wonderland. It's The Walrus and the Carpenter.
The Walrus and the Carpenter. I should have finished the quote. Of shoes and ships and sealing wax of cabbages and kings, but you got it right, Jane. Okay, for 25 points. Sir. Okay, Syracuse, here is your bonus question. 25 points if possible here. It's a quick five-part bonus question on receptacles and cooking utensils. 5 points for each of the following items you can identify. Think fast now and come up with one answer. There's not much time on this one. All right, first of all, the receptacle mentioned in Robert Burns' Auld Lang Syne.
Short conference, Alan.
Quick time. Time is...
Janet Carroll.
A cup?
That's right. That's right, but you got to come faster, Janet. Come on now. The receptacle... All right, here we go. For 5 points, the receptacle mentioned in Omar Khayyam's The Rubaiyat.
Janet Carroll.
A jug.
Right, for 5 points. The receptacle associated with Polly of the nursery rhyme.
Kettle.
Right, for 5 points.
That was Jane Barham.
Okay, Jane. That's right for 5 points. Okay, 5 more points. You'll tell us the receptacle that is the subject of a Keats poem.
Janet Carroll.
An urn, a
right.
Grecian urn.
Right, ode to a Grecian urn. That's right, 5 points. Okay, you'll get it all if you get this one. The receptacle which is never utilized in the Grimm's fairy tale, Hansel and Gretel.
Janet Carroll again.
The stove?
No. The cauldron. I'm sorry, you didn't get it. The stove was used, the cauldron wasn't. Okay, now here we go back to a toss-up question. Coming up is a one-part 35-point bonus. And oh, it's a real tough one. Here we go. Here's your toss-up. The receding tide is called ebb tide. For 10 points, what is the incoming tide called? Washington and Lee.
Body punch.
The flow. Flood tide.
The flood tide. Did I get flood tide?
Yes, you did.
All right, I'll accept it. Okay, here we go, Washington and Lee. You got it all or nothing on this one question. It's worth 35 points.
As you how many answers, Alan, on this? The first
I will
answer?
I will. You can come up with an answer.
Okay.
You can kick it around a little bit.
Okay, we will.
As you probably know, Senator Wayne Morse of Oregon is the only independent in the Senate. Now, for 35 points, will you please name the lone independent in the House of Representatives?
All right, Henry Turner. Henry Turner.
Frazier Reed.
Oh, you got it for 35 points. Henry Turner, can you tell me what state Frazier Reams is from? Henry Turner.
Yes,
can you tell me what state Frazier Reams is from?
Ohio.
That's right. Okay, with a score 30 for Syracuse, Washington Lee 45. Let's take just a minute now, time out, and let Jack Costello tell us the stakes here in our quiz game.
Fine, Alan. Each week, NBC will award to the school of the winning team a $500 gift to be administered by the college. Now, it may go to a scholarship fund or to a campus activity. And each member of the losing team will receive an attractive, dependable Whitnar wristwatch, a distinguished member of the Longines Whitnar family of fine watches since 1866, maker of watches of the highest character. Well, those are the stakes. Now, with 20 minutes to go and the score Syracuse 30, Washington and Lee 45, we go back to a toss-up
Alan,
question.
Yes, Joe?
I think Washington Lee only has 40. We will penalize 5 points to start the game.
Well, our scorekeeper. Okay, you got it. Let's not gripe about it. Our scorekeeper says that he's
you know
a big...
the honor system down here prevails.
Okay, boy. You're a good man. Now, I'll tell you what. We've got a 30-point musical bonus system coming up. Here is your toss-up. For 10 points, tell us, what is the name of the Australian animal that served as a model for the stuffed teddy bear? Washington and Lee?
Bobby Paxton.
Keola.
Keola, that's right. How do you spell it?
K-A-O-L-A.
What was that?
K-A-O-L-A, Alan.
No, you got the right name, but the wrong Koala. Spelling. According to mine here, it's K-O-A-L-A. Koala, huh? Koala, the little marsupial that is only about 2 feet long and has large hairy ears, sharp claws. Okay, Washington Lee, by knowing that but not spelling it right, you got a 30-point musical bonus from our popular music question tonight. We're going to play 3 songs, each of which has the name of a well-known magazine in its title. For 10 points each, all you got to do is name the magazine. Here's the first one.
Four Hands, Fred Larkin, Holiday.
Right, Holiday for Strings, the Holiday magazine. Okay, what's the name of the magazine in this one?
Harold Quinn.
Time.
All right, what's the tune?
As Time Goes By.
All right, what's the one in this one?
Fred Larkin, Look.
Right, Look, from the way you look tonight, that sounded like it was too easy to me. Okay, let's get going now. We got a score of 85 for Washington Lee and 30 for Syracuse with 18 minutes to go, and I got a toss-up question here and a 40-point bonus coming up, so on your toes. This is an alphabetical toss-up. I'm going to define a series of letters which, when put together, spell a name that is frequently in the news. Now, you're to signal as soon as you know or think you know the name I'm spelling. The first letter of the name is The musical abbreviation denoting soft. The next letter in the name is the first letter in a controversial book title by James Joyce. The most controversial book title. All right. The next letter is the middle initial of poet Eliot. Syracuse.
Janet Carroll.
Pussy of Harvard.
Oh, that's right for 10 points. Oh, you did it before I finished spelling it. I was going to go on, but you got it. You interrupted it. Okay, here's a 40-point bonus you earned by that, Janet. It's spring now, you know, and everybody's going to be thinking of flowers pretty soon. So here's a bonus question on flowers that appear in literature, art, and mythology. You'll get 10 points for each that you identify correctly. First of all, the best-known flower painting by Van Gogh.
Ray Gunter.
The sunflowers.
Right, sunflowers. All right, the flower that Walt Whitman mentioned in a moving tribute to a dead president.
Well, that's Janet Carroll.
Lilac.
All right, when his poem... Janet, you're right on that. Janet, what is the name of that poem?
When lilacs last in the dooryard blooms.
That's right, when lilacs last in the dooryard blooms. All right, the flower that sprang up from the blood of a youth accidentally killed by the god Apollo.
Conference up. All Ray Gunter's got it.
I think that might be hyacinth.
You think right. That is hyacinth. Okay. The flower, you're going to get all 40 points on this, and you'll be within 5 points of Washington Lee if you can tell me the flower included in the title of a novel by Alexander Dumas.
Janet Carroll.
Camille.
What?
Camellia.
Ah, Camellia. That's the one. Okay, you're 5 points ahead of us, Washington and Lee, and the time is 15 and a half minutes to go. Here's your toss-up. For 10 points, who first used the term Iron Curtain? Washington and Lee.
Harold Quinn.
Winston Churchill.
Right, Winston Churchill. You know when, Harold? You know when? You know where, Harold?
It was a speech at Fulton, Missouri.
That's right. Okay, here's your 30-point bonus that you earned by that. It's our bonus game that takes quick thinking but only an incidental knowledge of geography. We will give you a series of definitions for short words that, when grouped together, sound like a geographical place name. Now, you name the place. For 10 points each time you figure it out. First of all, the name of this sea sounds like a fear and a nervous affliction.
Conference Island.
It's a sea, isn't it?
Sea, yeah.
Yeah,
all right. Repeat the question. I don't think they understood.
The name
that.
Of this sea sounds like a fear and a nervous affliction.
Conference on that island.
These are short words that, when grouped together, sound like geographical place names, and time is called. Baltic. A sphere and a nervous affliction. Tick being a tick. All right, here we go. Now, you're putting these short words together, and you're coming up with a geographical nameplate. First of all, our place name. The name of this mountain, this is a mountain, sounds like a thin cushion, a possessive pronoun, and a musical wind instrument.
Conference. All right, we have the answer.
Okay. Come on.
What? Where?
Come on. Where? Matterhorn. Matterhorn. Matt, a thin cushion, a possessive pronoun her, and a musical instrument horn. Okay, you can still get 10 points with this one. This is the name of a river. It's the name of a river, and it sounds like a coniferous shrub. Coniferous shrub. Gotta get that. The price paid for transportation of goods, and the plural of a kind of polite party.
We have it, Bobby Parks.
The Euphrates.
That's right, Bobby, for 10 points.
Hold it, Alan. That's the halftime whistle, which calls for a one-minute timeout.
Okay, and during these 60 seconds that we're taking out now, it is our custom, first of all, to meet the individual team members of our challenging team, which means that I want to go up to the campus of Syracuse University in Syracuse, New York, and meet, first of all, Ray Gunter. How are you, Ray?
All right, Alan.
Ray, what are you going to do when you finish college?
Well, I intend to go to law school.
Going to be a lawyer. Do you know where you're going?
Well, either Yale or Harvard, I hope.
Oh, Okay, well, with your grades, you ought to make it. Janet Cairo.
Hi, Alan.
Hi. Oh, you're real great in this quiz, you know, Janet. What are you going to do when you finish college?
Well, I hope to get some sort of job in journalism.
Another journalist. You know, we have more journalists here in the college quiz bowl, which speaks well for journalists.
It certainly does.
John Beeks.
Hello, Alan.
Hi, boy. What are you going to do when you finish college?
Go to law school, I hope, Alan.
Where?
Well, I've applied to Harvard and Michigan so far.
I see you're a Phi Beta Kappa. That shouldn't hurt, should it?
Hope not.
Okay. Jane Bauer, what are you
going to
do?
Well, I'm going to the University of North Carolina next year.
For what kind of study?
To study colonial history.
Colonial history. That's well, you're all going to continue your study, huh? Well, that's our Syracuse University team, the challenging team tonight. Now down to meet the current champions in the college quiz bowl, the team at Washington and Lee University, who now are only 25 points ahead. Let's talk first to... Well, who's going to talk for you tonight, Washington Lee?
I am, Alan. Harold Quinn.
Hiya, Harold. What are you going to say?
Well, I was going to tell everyone that right now we at Washington and Lee are all very proud over a recent announcement that two members of our Washington and Lee community are going to have novels published in April.
Well, really, who?
Yes, one is a student, a senior, Glenn Scott. He has written a novel about college life. And
what's
it's
it
to
called?
It's called Sound of Voices Dying, and it's to be published by E.P. Dutton.
Yeah.
Furthermore, one of our professors in the law school, Dr. McDowell, has written a novel called The Iron Baby Angel, and Henry Holt's going to publish it. It's concerned with reminiscences and of childhood in his Kentucky hometown. We think that's very remarkable that a school of our size has two writers.
Well, it's a creative, it's a renaissance down there of creative writing, isn't
we
it?
We think so, yes.
Renaissance, they say either way, don't they? Okay. Incidentally, I want to say to you all down in Lexington and to all of our listeners in Virginia how... And all over the country, for that matter, I want to say how much we've appreciated the very fine letters we've had this week from those of you who hate to learn of our departure from the airways this season. We appreciate your interest. Now, though, the time period is up, so let's get back to the quiz.
Right, Alan, with the score Washington and Lee 105 and Syracuse 80. Now, how about another toss-up question?
All right, here's the toss-up question, and coming up is a 40-point bonus. For 10 points, what famous sailor of the latter 17th century was born in Scotland, settled in New York, fought against French privateers, and was executed in England? Syracuse.
John Beach.
John Cabot.
Can you take it, Washington and Lee? No taker?
Yes, Fred Lackman. John Paul Jones.
No, I'm sorry. It was Captain Kidd. William Kidd, the famous pirate. Okay. Nobody got it, so here we go. We still got a 40-point bonus coming up. This is your toss-up. Samuel Johnson once said that it was not cruel to whip a schoolboy ad monendum et docendum. Washington and Lee?
No, my fault, Alan.
All right, that's 5 points, boy.
Yes, I
okay. I will finish it for you, Syracuse. It is was not cruel to whip a schoolboy. I'm going to do this Latin again. Ad monendum et docendum. Now, you'll get 10 points, Syracuse, if you can tell us what, according to Johnson, are the two purposes of whipping.
Conference, Ray Gunter.
Well, that would be to admonish him or warn him and to teach him.
Can I accept that?
I will accept that.
All right. Admonish, warn, and teach him. Colloquially for his own good, reformation, and instruction. Okay? Here we go with a 40-point bonus, Syracuse. Certain expressions are derived, you know, from the actions or tactics of famous men in fact and fiction. Now, we're going to give you four such expressions and their meanings. For 10 points apiece, you are to tell us the incident which gives each expression its present meaning. Now, for instance, the Midas touch means skill or luck in finances. From what incident is this expression derived?
Is that an example, Alan, or is that a question?
No, that's a question for 10 points.
All right, Ray Gunter.
That refers to King Midas in mythology, who was given the power to make everything he touched turn to gold.
That's right for 10 points. Now, Fabian retreat. Fabian retreat means a policy of delays and cautions. Now, why?
Ray again.
That refers to Fabius Cunctor, the Carthaginian general who delayed in his attack on Rome, and by reason of this was defeated. Well, yeah.
Okay, that's it. You're right on there, boy. Tell me, Hobson's choice means a choice with no alternative. Do you know why? Hobson's choice. A choice with no alternative. Anybody in Syracuse? Time is called. I will tell you that it is the English. because an English stable owner by the name of Thomas Hobson required every one of his customers to hire the horse that was nearest the stable door. There was thus no choice. Okay, you'll get 10 more points, though, if you know this one. Barmecide feast, or barmecide feast, whichever you prefer, means an illusion of plenty. Why?
Conference, Alan.
Could we have you spell that first word?
B-A-R-M-E-C-I-D-E. Barmecide. Time is called. I'll tell you that Barmecide was the rich Persian in the Arabian Nights, you know? He was the one who invited the hungry beggar into a feast and made a pretense of serving food which is purely imaginary. Okay, the score is Syracuse 110, Washington Lee 107 minutes to go. Here's your toss-up. Coming up is another 40-point bonus. Spring is sprung, and everyone is thinking of vegetable gardens, birds, bees, and flowers. Now, for 10 points, tell us, would you be most apt to walk on, eat, or impale Zoysia japonica? No takers? Washington Lee?
Al Quinn.
You eat it.
Can you take it, Syracuse?
Janet?
Yes, you'd walk on it?
You guessed right for 10 points. Oh, man. Zoysia japonica is a new variety of hardy lawn. Well, okay. Here's your 40-point bonus, Les Syracuse. Criminal acts have often been mentioned in the titles of artistic work. For 10 points apiece now, you're to name the crime or violent act mentioned in the titles of the following stories, paintings, and musical compositions. The crime that occurred on a New York avenue according to a hot jazz ballet.
John Beat.
Slaughter on 10th Avenue.
Right. The crime that occurred on a Paris street according to an Edgar Allan Poe story.
Ray Gunter.
Murder in the Rue Morgue.
Right, for 10 points. Now, the act of violence ordered by an early king, portrayed in paintings by Tintoretto, René, and Rubens.
John Beat.
Would that be the beheading of
No, the act of violence is any changes? Massacre of the innocents of the painting. Three painters that painted the same subject. All right, the fourth one here is 10 more points. If you'll tell us the federal offense described in a Robert Louis Stevenson title.
Janet Carroll.
Kidnapped.
Right, for 10 points. Coming up is a 30-point musical bonus. The score is 150 for Syracuse, 100 for Washington Lee. 4.5 minutes to go. Here is your toss-up. For 10 points, what in the world are the Maxis, Grizzly Bear, Black Bottom, and Creek? Syracuse.
Janet Carroll.
Dances.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, here's your musical bonus, Syracuse. You're going to hear three voices. Voices of three well-known operatic characters. For 10 points each, you're to tell us the occupation of each of the men. Here is the first. Occupation of this character.
Okay, Alan. Ray Gunter.
Ray?
That's from Carmen, the Toreador song.
All right, what is his occupation?
He's a Toreador.
He's a bullfighter. Okay. All right, what is the occupation? What is the occupation of this character? Okay, what is his precise occupation?
Short con. Here we are.
John Lama Wayne, is it an artist?
No. Not a precise kind. I want the precise occupation.
Painter?
No, I'm sorry. I cannot give it to you. He was a poet. Rudolfo was a poet. An artist, but a poet precisely. All right, what is the occupation of this gentleman?
All right, Alan. Ray Gunter.
Okay, Ray.
That's from The Marriage of Figaro. Be a barber.
That's right. The barber of Sevilla. That was Figaro, the barber. You're right. Okay, here we go back to the toss-up question, and coming up is a 20-point bonus. The bonuses are small from now on, so let's work fast. 3 minutes to go. This past week, a lady named Mrs. Lila Bell Atchison Wallace accepted an invitation. Syracuse.
Janet Carroll.
She's going to be on the board of directors of the New York Central Railroad.
I'm going to not accept that. I'll penalize you 5 points and finish it for Washington Lee. For 10 points, I want you to tell us what Mrs. Wallace was invited to do.
Would you repeat the whole question, please?
This past week, a lady named Mrs. Lila Bell Atchison Wallace accepted an invitation for 10 points exactly. What was Mrs. Wallace invited to do?
Henry Turner.
To sit into the board of election of New York Central Railroad.
No, I'll throw them both out. She was invited to have her name put on the proposed slate of directors for the New York Central Railroad, but it was on the proposed slate that I was looking. I must have that. We got to get precise here. Okay, here we go back to the toss-up question. Coming up still is a bonus question of 20 points. In the Alps, you might see a St. Bernard dog helping a lost traveler. And you might also see the little St. Bernard and the great St. Bernard. Now, for 10 points, what are the last two? Washington and Lee.
Fred Lachman.
No.
What?
No.
Yeah, what was that?
They're monasteries.
Can you take it, Syracuse? Can you take
conference
it?
Conference now, Al.
No conference. No,
Janet,
no,
Janet Carroll.
Okay.
Mountains?
We still
have no, mountain passes. There are mountain passes. All right, I'll tell you. You've got to toss up. Here we go, another toss-up. We'll give you 10 points. We'll give you 10 points if you can tell us into what did the Viceroy of Bengal throw 146 Englishmen? Syracuse.
Ray Gunter.
The Black Hole of Calcutta.
Right, for 10 points. Okay, boys, Syracuse, here's your 20-point bonus. So Cordelia in Shakespeare's King Lear was an obedient, faithful, and loving daughter. She was disinherited and disowned by her father. For 20 points, why did King Lear disown Cordelia?
John?
Because she was honest enough to say that she didn't, or she couldn't convince him that she loved him enough.
She was honest. She did not flatter him. That's right, for 20 points. Okay, what does that make you score? 205 to a 1 for Syracuse, 105, 100 for Washington Lee. A minute, 45 seconds to go. Here's your toss-up. In Italy, it's Luigi Einaudi for 10 points, who holds the same position in France. Washington and Lee.
Fred Lachman.
Rene Coty.
Right, for 10 points. Here's a 20-point bonus, Washington and Lee. Here's a question about a famous World War I personality. You'll get 20 points if you know his name after this clue. Marshal Foch said this man was responsible for a deed that was the greatest thing accomplished by any private soldier of all the armies of Europe.
All right, we have it.
Okay?
Fred Lachman.
Sergeant York, Alvin York.
That's right, for 20 points, Washington and Lee. All right, here's your toss-up question.
And that's it. Time's up. Sorry, Alan, but the game's over for this week. The final score in the College Quiz Bowl tonight is 130 points for Washington and Lee University and 205 points for the winner, Syracuse University. To each member of the Washington and Lee team, it's our pleasure to award an attractive and dependable Whitnar wristwatch. A distinguished member of the Longines Whitnar family of fine watches. Since 1866, makers of the watches of highest character. And for fielding the winning team tonight, Syracuse University will receive a $500 gift to be administered by the university. And these varsity scholars from Syracuse will return next week to compete in this new All-American quiz game with the varsity scholars from the University of Colorado at Boulder, Colorado. Now here once again is your master of the quiz, Alan Ludd.
Okay, I want to congratulate you winners up in Syracuse, and I want to say to you four gentlemen down at Washington and Lee University, it's been a wonderful run of wins you've had there.
Alan?
Yes, Joe?
The boys all would like to congratulate the new champion. If they had to get licked, they couldn't have gotten licked by a finer bunch in Syracuse.
Wonderful. I want to say thank you to Bob Paxton, Henry Turner, Fred Lachman, Harold Quinn Jr. from Washington and Lee. You've been great. You've made a lot of friends. Now, next week, the University of Syracuse meets Syracuse University meets Colorado, University of Colorado. So won't you be with us then for another exciting quiz game here in the College Quiz Bowl. This is Alan Ludden now saying so long, everybody.
Your referees tonight were for Syracuse University, Bob Whitney of station WSYR Syracuse. And for Washington and Lee University, Joe Moffat of station WSLS Roanoke. College Quiz Bowl is a transcribed NBC Radio Network production, originated and produced by John Moses and Don Reed. Directed by Ken McGregor, this is Jack Costello speaking.
Enjoy the fine music of the NBC Symphony next on the NBC Radio Network.